to tell you that I am a rule follower. I'm the oldest child in my family, and this is just the way life works. Like, I stress about doing the right thing. I want to know all the rules, and I get really stressed by bending them or breaking them slightly, like overstaying my timed parking spot by like 5 minutes. I left the Barbie movie early because, like, I only had a 2-hour parking spot. Or, like, walking in the cemetery after the sunset. Like, we gotta get out of here. We're gonna get locked in. Recently, the Valenti house has been bombarded with new rules. As we have entered the public school system, I have downloaded 4 apps to my phone to keep track of all the new rules and routines of elementary school life. And I could download a 5th one if Theo was a bus rider. It's a lot. Every day this week, Theo has come home sharing some of the rules he is learning, the routine for a fire drill, raise your hand before speaking, always wear closed-toed shoes, make sure you use the bathroom when the time and the schedule allows, and drop-off is at 7:35 a.m., and parents can give hugs, but they are not allowed inside the building. That one's more for me. But rules can be good, right? They're created with the best of intentions. They provide structure and order. The purpose is to create this communal understanding that mutually benefits everyone until they don't. Many of you are lawyers. You could school me on this, right? Some rules are great, and some rules are doomed from the beginning. And some rules need to change, just like this whole spirit of Labor Day. Like, we need different rules for everyone. In our gospel for today, Jesus is faced with all of this. The essence of the law versus how it plays out in real life. And it's important to remember as we talk about these things, so we don't get into anti-Semitic territory, that Jesus was a Jew here talking with other Jews. This discussion was held within the family of faith. As one commentator writes, like the ancient prophets, Jesus was speaking as a Jew from within Jewish tradition, critiquing some religious leaders of the day, in this case, some Pharisees, who sought to extend the purity practices to all people, not just the priests. And as we'll see, Jesus doesn't oppose the larger goal for their zeal of the law, their reliance on the tradition, or their purity practices themselves. On the contrary, he contends that these leaders are not lawful enough, traditional enough. And they try to catch each other in these small infractions where Jesus insists that they commit themselves to much larger offenses. Like that famous image from the Sermon on the Mount. They point out the speck in their neighbor's eye while ignoring the log in their own. Jesus's counter critique isn't against legalism or traditions or purity practice, but rather against this profane blend, all too familiar in all religious circles, including Christianity, of judgmentalism and hypocrisy and distorted priorities. For rules can be great. And in biblical times, they certainly had an important role to play in the community, especially when they did not have hot water or indoor plumbing. Some of these rules served as the first public health book for a nomadic ancient people who needed some ways to keep themselves and the community safe. Yes, please wash your hands. In fact, this is still a good rule to follow. Maybe we should have it posted everywhere in these elementary schools. Wash your hands, right? But the problem comes when the law becomes the point of it all, the reason for being. When us following the law becomes the way we think God loves us, when these things determine our worth, when these laws determine what we think others have worth, these laws were never intended to be the point, but a means to an end. All of these laws, all of the commandments are supposed to point to loving God and loving our neighbors and loving ourselves. And it's hard to live in and by love if we keep keeping track of what we and others are not doing or doing, right? abiding by the law, if we sit there with our clipboards, if we live in this rigidness all the time, what comes out is frustration and anger and bitterness and pride. For if we put ourselves in that judgment seat, in the end, it's not good for anyone, including us. For judgment belongs to God and God alone. For deep down, we know we can't keep all these laws. Even this rule follower will break one from time to time. For we get stuck in ruts, we worry, we attempt to take control. And so God continually gives us this thing called grace and forgiveness and space to try again. Jesus came to undo these laws that hold us bound and remind us what really matters. We are loved not by the amount of rules we can follow, but we are loved because of who God is for us. Martin Luther talked about the Bible being the manger in which Jesus, the Word of God, lived. And so as Lutherans, we are invited to read and interpret Scripture, all the laws, all the rules, through this lens of Christ. So as we read these things, we can ask ourselves, is this relevant to loving God or loving my neighbor or loving myself? Does this help me continue this ripple effect of grace and forgiveness and abundance? Jesus actually in this text models for us how we can ask these questions today, even in our Christian community. Do we live by spoken and unspoken laws? And are they the means to an end or the end? These rules help us love God and love one another and love ourselves. Do these things continue the ripple effect of God's grace and forgiveness and abundance? Are we pointing to Jesus in all that we say and do? And we have permission to keep asking these questions and keep asking these questions, for our faith is not static, but it's a moving, living, spirit-filled thing. So we can come back to these questions again and again and again. Today, as Steve noted, we didn't do the song today. We did James. And Luther hated James, the book of James. He called it this book of straw. And yet I felt kind of drawn to include it because this idea of being a doer of the word really stuck out to me. Despite my Lutheran grace-filled, can't-do-it-all pastoring self. In light of this gospel conversation, it makes me wonder, how can we hear this James text not as another rule to follow, but as gift, an invitation? Not be a doer of the word, or else, but allow the love of God to permeate all of you, every nook and cranny of your life. How can be a doer of the word give us permission to live more freely? Just like the image of that kid on our bulletin cover for today, so full of joy. Now, when we did that questionnaire last spring, Reverend Tara, our Holy Cow interpreter, shared that many of us in the D.C. area, we like to study, study, study. And then we study, study, study some more, right? And sometimes the Holy Spirit is trying to nudge us to put down our books and our reports and the statistics and go experience. Go embody what you've been learning. I think in this text, James is reminding his community that the gospel not only engages our mind and intellect, but also our will and heart and our hands and our feet. It's a whole body experience. Just like we have a whole body God who came and put on skin to be with us, to experience life and all its ups and downs. And so I wonder if the litmus test for all of this, the rules and the doing and being a doer of the word and being a disciple of Christ out in the world, the way we know that we're on the right track, is that picture on our bulletin cover. Is this uncontainable joy? Can we allow the love of God to let us loose a little bit? Have a little fun, you know? Loosen our shoulders. to laugh a little, to take ourselves a little less serious. For as Paul writes, the fruits of our labors, the gifts of living in the Spirit, are the opposite of the list that Jesus lists today. They are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So, dear ones, I wonder, how can we do this? How can being God's love not feel like a dirge or a checklist of rules to follow, but how can it lead us forward off of the fence, out of our books, and into our neighborhood and jobs and relationships, trusting that God goes with us and joy will find us? You know, this summer has been a summer of stickers, yeah? We did bike reflective stickers and blessed our bikes at the beginning of the summer. In summer Sunday school, we had Lord's Prayer stickers and Prayer Labyrinth stickers and Jesus Loves You communion stickers. And in worship, we've been using name stickers, as we usually have two services and we've been at one service, and so we've written our names down so that we can get to know each other a little better from these two worshiping communities. And so on this Labor Day weekend, in honor of back to school, I have one more sticker for you. Ready for it? I have a gold star. Because, dear ones, may you know that you are doing enough. You are loved. Be embraced by the grace given to you freely. So you are invited to keep track less and allow this joy to find you. You have permission today from your pastor to be an underachiever. For you have all that you need to be a doer of the word, a disciple of Christ. And so be free, be loved, be you. Amen. Thanks be to God.